Welcome back to The New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. And of course, everything you need is at NewWorldNextWeek.com. James, as Blacklisted News notes, the terror hype machine is in full-blown beast mode, perhaps in anticipation of next week's 13th anniversary of 9/11. As we begin with our first story this week, officials warn 11 missing airplanes could be used on 9/11 anniversary. Libyan terrorists posted pictures of themselves posing with some of the planes taken from Tripoli Airport after fighters seized it last month. Soldiers from the group Libyan Dawn were seen climbing onto the wings of commercial jets and smiling and waving for the camera. U.S. officials fear that these airplanes could now be used to carry out 9/11-style attacks in the region on the anniversary of the tragedy this month. A total of 11 commercial jets from state-owned carriers Libyan Airlines and Afrika Airways went missing in August after militants from the so-called Masked Men Brigade overran the airport. Officials have been warning for some time about the deteriorating situation in Libya, which was controlled by dictator Muammar Gaddafi until he was killed in October 2011. There are a number of commercial airliners in Libya that are missing, one official told the Washington Free Beacon. We found out on September 11 what can happen with hijacked planes. 9/11, of course, not only marks the anniversary on the World Trade Center attacks, but will also be the second anniversary of the raid of the U.S. ambassador's compound in Benghazi. James, this kind of continues something we talked about last week, but I think when we add in the other data point that folks are sort of speculating about, we'll take the flashback to back in June when airplanes, that's 13 airplanes, vanished from radar months before this now jet theft in Libya. Back in June, two unprecedented blackouts caused 13 planes flying over Europe to disappear from radar screens, leaving air traffic control with no info on their location, speed, direction, or height. And this series of blackouts lasted for almost a half hour. Several reports suggested air traffic control systems were hacked, that according to The Telegraph. So now, a few months later, at least 11 jetliners go missing from Tripoli, Libya, at their international airport after Islamic militants took control of the area. James, we, as I was saying, touched on this last week, and in a way this is somewhat a continuation on our discussion of Libya as a failed state. James, there are other points I want to tie in, but I'll throw it to you back now.
Well, this is just what an incredible story to tie together all the various threads of the terror hysteria. I mean, you've got the failed state of Libya, where, of course, a lot of the terrorists have moved on to Syria and ISIS now. And you have the commercial jetliners. You have, I mean, all of these terror elements floating around. And as I noted in my most recent subscriber newsletter, this goes back to what Lennon Honor has described as kind of the 9/11 program or the 9/11 script, that every year around this time for the 6 weeks leading up to 9/11, there is some sort of programming to do with that type of 9/11, those 9/11 ideas, something to do with airplanes and crashes and something to do with the terror threat and all of this. And it's ramping up exactly on schedule, exactly as it does seemingly every single year at this time. So it's an interesting phenomenon to look at. The best thing about that particular idea is that every single year it culminates in September. There's this huge terror hysteria, and by October it's fizzled out and it's gone from the headlines. So let's hope that that's going to happen this year, but unfortunately, false flag terror can strike at any time, just as they want us to believe that terrorism can. So a lot of worrying elements in here with all of these things ramping up towards what could very well be a false flag terror event, and the beginning of the next round of whatever type of war on terror hysteria we're going to be plunged into. And I think one of the worrying aspects of this is that not only have we got all of this going on, but now we also have this Russian hacking meme going on with the banks that supposedly were hacked to a very deep level, and they could have deleted everyone's accounts and basically reset the system or whatever if they wanted to, or so we're being told. And in the name of that, of course, there's going to have to be all sorts of legislation. So much coming because of this right now, and it seems to be coming at a head just as we approach 9/11 anniversary.
James, seemingly mundane, but I think it speaks to the 9/11 programming that you're talking about. We even see things like the stupid Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie that comes out. They put out a poster that has, you know, high rise exploding in the exact same way, and then apologize and remove it. But we again see the program. Some of the other paranoia, as we've called it, James, and it seems like it's kind of coming from all sides, and it just kind of keeps building. Homeland Security experts warn of a possible ISIS attack on the U.S. border. There's this sort of paranoia, paranoia building that, you know, the southern borders are open and ISIS folks are coming through. So there's any level of plausible deniability going on for what could possibly happen later. In case you missed it, the U.S., as long as we're talking geopolitics, James, we're also now conducting military operations in Somalia and now just somewhat close to getting all of this together, James, there's now the second alleged beheading of now U.S. reporter named Stephen Sotloft. So we see these, the paranoia ratcheting up. And I think it's really interesting just on an esoteric level how the memes move as we go from beheading to, as even you were just referring to, hacking. Our second story this week is the one that has the most chatter out in the mainline world. But Threat Level actually has an interesting take, and this is their headline: the police tool that pervs use to steal nude pics from Apple's iCloud. As nude celebrity photos spilled onto the web over this past weekend, blame for the scandal has rotated from scumbag hackers who stole the images to a researcher who released a tool used to crack victims' iCloud passwords to Apple, whose security flaws have made that cracking exploit possible in the first place. But one step in the hacker's sex-stealing playbook has been ignored, and that's a different piece of software designed to let cops and spies siphon data from iPhones, but instead is being used by pervy criminals, if six of one, half dozen of the other. On the web forum AnonIB, one of the more popular anonymous image boards, and that's where people are posting stolen nudie selfies, hackers there are now allegedly openly discussing a piece of software called EPPB, or Elscomsoft Phone Password Breaker, EPPB, to download the victim's data from iCloud backups. That software, James, is sold by Moscow-based forensics firm Elscomsoft and intended for government agency customers, in combination with iCloud credentials obtained with iBrute. That's the password cracking software for iCloud released on GitHub over the weekend. EPPB lets anyone impersonate a victim's iPhone and download its full backup rather than the more limited data accessible on iCloud. So just to give a little bit of the background, this security nightmare for Apple started over the weekend when hackers leaked all kinds of nude photos of celebrities like Jennifer Lawrence and Kate Upton. The security community quickly pointed fingers at the iBrute software, a tool released by security researcher Alexei Trosyshev, designed to take advantage of a flaw in Apple's Find My iPhone. If you lose your phone, find my iPhone. And the feature uses it to brute force users' iCloud's passwords, cycling through thousands of possibilities to crack the account. If a hacker, James, can obtain a user's iCloud username and password with iBrute, then you can log into the victim's iCloud account and steal photos. But that's just the small way. If attackers instead impersonate the user's device with the Elscomsoft tool, the desktop application allows them to impersonate the user's device. So from one level to the other, and as a security expert named Jonathan Zdarsky says, you don't get the same level of access by logging into someone's web account as you can by emulating a phone that's doing a restore from an iCloud backup. If we didn't have this law enforcement tool, we might not have the leaks we've had. So, James, as folks can already kind of tell, this is a much longer, more involved kind of story. But in a way, this almost reminds me of the Promise software. Shady, hacked, stolen software that's meant to be exploited, meant to give black or white hats, again, plausible deniability in virtual flag terrorism. James.
Well, that's exactly right. And thank you for bringing this story out, because this is the real story behind what's going on. Look, I get it. People don't care two figs about celebrities and their problems, whatever. It's just another salacious headline and a clickbait type of thing. But this is actually an important story, because it serves to help to undermine the entire idea of this cloud computing, which people have been blindly stumbling into. And I guess we can make fun of the sheeple for being so silly to be blind to this, but whatever, let's press this story and expose this for what it is. I mean, I don't think people really appreciate what they're doing when they just unthinkingly sign up for the iCloud and suddenly all of their devices sync through the cloud and they never think about it again. All of this information is accessible through that, including an entire backup of your smartphone, which includes all sorts of information you're not even necessarily sending to iCloud, or you don't believe you are, including deleted photos. So there's a lot of privacy implications here, and as someone on Twitter that I retweeted recently pointed out, isn't Apple working right now on a new payment system to make it smooth so that you can use your credit card with your iPhone? Oh, that's going to be real safe and secure, just like their iCloud is, right? Let's press this story to bring out what's really happening here, which is, one, the complete delegitimization of the cloud computing nightmare that we're all stumbling into, and two, pointing out, yes, law enforcement do have these types of tools specifically created for them so they can get in and download whatever they want from any of your devices. So keep that in mind as well. And the third, I think, thing we should keep in mind with all of this is, think again, the fact that the NSA has all access to all of this anyway. I mean, everything flowing through the net is being scooped up wholesale by the NSA and their counterpart agencies in various countries by now, and we'd be fools to believe otherwise. So if you have it on a personal data device of some sort and it is somehow accessible through the internet, chances are you might as well assume that information, that data is out there. So again, let's use this story to expose the fact once again that the crazy conspiracy theorists who've been warning about the cloud technology, as we have here on Media Monarchy and Corbett Report and our various outlets, we were right once again. Look at this. It is a major security breach or potential breach, and people should completely reject this technology, because the next step, a few years down the road, they're going to stop giving us hard drives altogether. Why do you need a hard drive? You're internet accessible. You can access everything through the cloud. We have to say no, and we have to put our foot down. This has to be a line in the sand. And this is the type of story that can at least bring this to the average person's attention. So let's, again, press this story out for what it really is and what it really exposes.
James, one last piece, the Threat Level article even points out, is that Elcomsoft's program doesn't even require proof of law enforcement or other government credentials. So you don't even have to act like you're a good, nice person for the government. Now, having said that, James, I think our third and final story this week segues pretty well as this stays kind of on topic. And I got to thank folks on Twitter in a lot of ways. They submit stories using hashtag New World Next Week. And there's a user at KES_VL submitted this story. Feds spend $1 million collecting suspicious memes. Through a National Science Foundation grant, the federal government is bankrolling a database of suspicious memes and other false and misleading political ideas posted on social media. So far, nearly $1 million has been spent on the plan, which is based at Indiana University and known as Truthy, of course inspired by comedian Stephen Colbert's concept of truthiness. A major focus of the project is determining whether memes are created by professional political activists or regular internet users. Truthy's About page suggests that such content distributed by the shady machinery of high-profile congressional campaigns is just one example of political smears, astroturfing, misinformation, and other social pollution lurking on social networks. The ultimate goal of the project, as explained in the National Science Foundation grant, seems to include suppression of this content. Quote, Truthy could mitigate the diffusion of false and misleading ideas, detect hate speech and subversive propaganda, and assist in the preservation of open debate, missing the irony altogether. James, again, I think this follows what we can only call that sort of virtual flag terrorism. Who's doing this? Who's running these accounts? Who's really hacking these things? We can blame it on the Chinese, and we can blame it on the Russians, or we can blame it on the kids in the basement. But on every level, it's only going to be used to say, oh my God, we need more controls. Think about the children. So I include the link to actually a recent story from press release from whitehouse.gov, as Obama recently, I think as June, announced a bunch of appointees to the National Science Foundation. So I haven't gone through that list to maybe see how many people are members of the Council on Foreign Relations or what sort of so-called elite think tanks they're connected to. But James, here you have it. Suspicious memes.
Think before you tweet. Well, we already know that the U.S. government can terror watch list people based on Facebook and Twitter posts. So maybe if you're spouting some of these suspicious memes, you might end up on a list. You better be careful. Well, again, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to parse what's going on here, and it's kind of funny, and it kind of makes me want to tweet out more memes about, against these types of ridiculous government policies, like government is a condom, don't be a statist prick, which I tweeted out recently. But there's a lot of different things that we could say about this, but I think one of them is that there really is a sort of power to social media, and I think that that's at least being tacitly acknowledged here, and I think we see it in things like the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, which is, I mean, it's ridiculous on a number of levels, and most of the money doesn't go to research anyway, if that's even what you're interested in. But I think that it's being misdirected in a lot of ways, but there is still that power that comes with this, and the sort of meme, the viral content that takes off. And I think they're studying that right now and how to use that best for propagandistic purposes. And I think we have to be studying it and finding out how best to spread truth and real information through this. So I think it is kind of an info weapon race, an arsenal building race that's happening right now. And while it's free and open and while we have access to it, I think we have to be pressing it as hard as we can. And I think that that's something that they are at very least wary of at this point. And so I think that this is sort of Achilles' heel for some of these, this New World Order gang. And I think we have to take out the switchblade and cut the tendon.
James, because I can't help it and that's who I am, as soon as I checked to see if it was available, I snagged it up. You guys can tweet your suspicious memes to @suspiciousmemes on Twitter. I set it up. So it's there. So we can put all our suspicious memes over there while we remain untouched. James, as we wrap up this episode 202 of New World Next Week, another interesting note, and I think it speaks to the freedom of the press, as we look at the Washington Post, where Jeff Bezos has swapped out the Graham dynasty and replaced it with their competition, someone from Politico. And my friend on Twitter @SteveDew asks if that makes the Washington Post more Rockefeller, less Rockefeller, or the same amount of Rockefeller but more obfuscated. So we'll have to leave that for another time, and we'll invite folks to join us next week, which will land on the 13th anniversary of 9/11, James.
That's right. And in the meantime, I think I'm going to be the first one to tweet @suspiciousmemes. So let's find the best ones out there. All right. Thank you again for putting this together. I'm looking forward to next week.
Thanks so much, man.